which she was going into the kitchen bemoaning the temperature. I remember her words, well, as long as the preacher's comfortable, and maybe sarcasm is. I mean, I hadn't given it enough thought. Well, I tell you what, that was just one wonderful meal. Great meal. And I appreciate that so very much. That was just delicious. And just a little foretaste of what's to come. There's just a little bit of pumpkin pie in there. And we're heading toward the holiday season and all those goodies. It's just great. One of these days, I want y'all to come to our house, bring the songbooks, and let's just sing over there. I can't sing much anymore, but I still enjoy it. And it's just such a nice thing to get together and just sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And maybe we can do that this fall or winter. Hope so. I didn't get all that sermon done this morning when bad news came, but I'm not going to go into that right now to finish it. I'll do that some other time. But what I wanted to come back and do this afternoon is just sort of the application of that, or some suggestions, since each one of us receives bad news. And we don't know the next time it's going to happen and how it's going to come. And we don't know how it's going to affect us or our family. Because I know that sometimes you hear things and you get things and things get sent to you and it just crushes you. I'm not kidding. You know that too. It just crushes you. Well, that's life. And as Seth said in one of his prayers this morning, this is not heaven. And it's not meant to be. It's meant to be a training ground, a proving ground. We need to go through this. At least the Lord wanted most of us to go through it in order to get ready to enjoy the eternity that is to come. And so we have to take on life as it is. Stop sometime and give yourself the assignment of just listing, make a list of the words that you would use to describe correctly life. What is life? How is life? How would you describe it? Write down a word. Write down another word. I might preach a sermon one of these days on the various ways that life can be correctly described. And one of those ways is it is a challenge. It is a challenge, a tremendous challenge. And the bad news that we receive is just part of that. But it is an important part of that. So I want to make some practical suggestions just right quickly on when bad news comes to us. How should we react? First of all, I want to say this. Be grateful if you've got anybody close to share it with you. That is such a tremendous blessing. Sometimes you may get caught all by yourself and you have to make a phone call or get in touch with somebody quickly because you want somebody else to be thinking about this with you. You want to share it. You want somebody to share the burden. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 is a passage that tells us that two are better than one. And there are several reasons that he lists there. This comes to my mind in the light of this topic. I know it is far better to share a burden than it is to try to carry it all by yourself. Finally, something's got to give. But if somebody that you know and that cares for you carries the burden with you, and that's why we think about Jesus so much in that life. You know, He's our friend and He cares. Oh, I know He cares. We sing about that. And we know that we can cast our cares on Him. We sing about that. Well, we've got each other here on the earth. And in our young years, we need parents and sometimes associates to help us through things, and counselors or teachers and elders. And then later on in life, we need wives and husbands, and all those kinds of relationships come into the mix. Do you know what I just found out? Probably you've heard words like this or similar to this when somebody's called you that you love, and then before the conversation is over, they mention something about a doctor or a hospital visit, and then these words come into play. it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good. And then she has to deal with it, and we have to deal with it, and think about it. Be grateful if you have someone who will share and bear the burden with you. Secondly, evaluate what you've heard to see how bad it is. Sometimes the sound of it at first may be stronger than the content of it. Maybe it sounds worse than it is. That's not always the case, but it could be the case in some situations, especially as people exaggerate reports and then the report finally gets to you in its third exaggerated state. So be very careful to evaluate the news when bad news comes and to think about it, to think about its implications, what it means for you or for other people. A lot of it's just personal. Some of it's personal and congregational, or personal and family and congregational. Some of it's brotherhood wide in that regard. Some of it regards the country. Sometimes it's our missionaries, or it's brethren that we're supporting in other countries. When we hear about, we get bad news, the deaths of our brethren, you think about that. Or when somebody you love over here, you get a call and he's passed away, he was in a wreck or whatever it is. Think about the implications of it. Think about if there is any good spin to put on it. And as Christians, we're always looking for the optimistic trait. We're always looking for the fine feature. I know this is unpleasant. This is bad. But is there any good that I can see in it now, or that possibly might arise from it in the future? You think about that, and you pray about that. And number three, of course, make sure it is factual. We went over a thing this morning, the evil report in Numbers 13 that the Jews turned out. It was only factual if they willed it to be. It was an evil report because they gave up their faith. Now, you don't give up faith. And I remember one time when my daddy's sister, who had terrible health, bad health, he used to have to help her on a horse to get to school when they were kids. And anyway, she had a lot of problems in life and died fairly young. But she was fixing to have another one of her surgeries. And after we were grown and married, June and I were married, but anyway, she was fixing to have another surgery, and her daddy's mother, the woman's mother, was very concerned, you know, distraught about all of this, you know, and the doctor said she can't make it or whatever, and daddy said, they don't know our faith. Now, you have to remember that, and things like that. They don't. And I know that faith can affect a surgery. Faith can affect illness and disease and all kinds of problems. If you believe the evil report and it was simply because you didn't have any faith, so be it. You have to live with that. But sometimes it is an accurate evil report, but faith, it only is evil unless you have no faith. But if you have faith, as a Christian, you're always looking at the problem in the light of God's eyes and God's view and His love for me and His love for you and the one for whom you're praying. And so you make sure that the report is factual, evaluated in the light of God's truth. Number four, think about if there's anything I can do to change the situation. I get some bad news about somebody or some person or some congregation or some article or I don't know. Just let your imagination be the limit. Is there something I can do? I remember several years, we were still here, I think it was the first time, I believe. And I got a report about something that was going on somewhere else in the congregation where we had a lot of friends years and years ago. But I began to work on some way to help them because I thought I could. A lot of times you can't. I know that. A lot of problems we get, a lot of reports, bad news reports we get, And there's not anything that I can do except pray and face it courageously. But in cases where it might be altered somewhat, if I could change the situation a little, what would that be? Use your imagination. Start thinking about what it might be that whereby you could help somebody to change the situation. You can think about it like that. Number five, remember you're not the only one that's being hurt by this bad news. And there may be somebody closer to the center of the problem that's hurt more than you are. Is there something that I can do to ease the pain that are closer to the issue, that are closer to the problem, that are crying more than you are? How can I help them? If I can't cancel the report, I can't undo the deed, I can't alter the circumstance, somehow, some way, can I ease the pain or the anxiety of those who are closer to it and hurting far more by it? Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's if you're in their area, pat on the back. Maybe it's a whisper in their ear. Maybe it's a little note. You know they've got notes now. June buys these sometimes at the store. You know, just thinking of you. Isn't that something? You don't have to be sick. You don't have to have a birthday. You know, celebrate something. You know, just thinking of you. And I think there are a lot of people in situations throughout the week that would appreciate a note like that. Because day by day is a grind in a circumstance, in a given circumstance. They may not be reporting it. They may not tell you about it. But maybe you get wind of it somehow, some way, or you're suspicioning it. Or maybe you've just looked at them over a course of years and you've been amazed at their steadfastness to Christ in the light of so much resistance in their circumstance. And maybe you just want to say, I want you to know we appreciate you. And we think a lot about you and we pray for you. I think reception of notes like that would be very strengthening and encouraging. So if somebody's got a problem that you do know of, bad news was received, is there something I can say or do that might ease the pain? Now, I'm not going to just send a note out to anybody. You know, I read something in the newspaper. It's people I don't even know, and I send them a note. I'm not too impressed by things like that. You know, do you want somebody showing up at your funeral that doesn't know you? I don't really want it myself. Just to swell the numbers. I don't want that. And so I'm not saying just don't broadcast things. I'm saying in situations where, you know, it really might carry weight. It might have effect if you can alter it. You know, rejoice, Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Now, wouldn't that be something? To send a note to somebody that says, I'm happy for you. I heard about your good fortune. I'm happy for you. But then there's the other side too, and we're praying for you. I know that that can mean a lot to people. I know that. Number six, remember this, just like Seth was saying in his prayer this morning about this is not heaven. The problems are going to keep coming. That used to bother me too, I'll tell you. When I was a young preacher, and you preach at one congregation and you get to learn everybody's problems. And you've got your own with everybody. And then you move. And it finally dawns on you one day. You know what moving to a new congregation is? It's just the assuming of new problems. That's what it gets to be. And as a young preacher, I was kind of selfish. I didn't want your problems. I've gotten better about it now. I'm not as selfish as I used to be. But as a young punk, you know, a kid, he's trying to do right and he's trying to preach right, but he's still just a young kid. I really don't want... I've got problems of my own. I don't want yours. And every time you move, you get a new set. And after a few years go by, you say, June, I'm about ready for a new set of problems. and you move somewhere else. Now that may sound like an oversimplification, but I tell you, to a young preacher, it seems like that. It seems like that. You never get rid of problems, and that's in everybody's life. Why did these expressions come up? I think Brother Hartman used to refer to life as life's fitful dream. Waking up out of a bad dream. Life's fitful dream. Or it has been referred to as this veil of tears. How many preachers in their sermons over the years used to refer to life that way? This veil of tears. Solomon said it this way, Ecclesiastes 11:8. The days of darkness are many. The days of darkness shall be many. And they are. And those are the ones I need help with. Number 7. When bad news comes, try not to worry. Oh, that's easy for you to say. Well, I have to do that too when they come my way. Matthew 6:34. You know, try not to worry. Express faith. Show faith. Demonstrate faith. I know you can have anxiety without sin. Jesus had it in Gethsemane. But you can also have anxiety that leads to sin. Now, the Lord's anxiety in Gethsemane led Him to prayer. And He threw all of His burdens on the Father. Let Thy will be done. And finally, I have to do that too. So you can have anxiety without sin. You can also have anxiety that leads to sin because it demonstrates a lack of faith. Instead of the presence of faith, it demonstrates a lack of faith. Try not to worry. Build your life optimistically and psychologically control yourself. And pray about it. Lord, help me not to worry. Help me to have greater faith in Your care and Your promises. And mean it when You say it. And believe it when You mean it when You say it. I don't want to worry. I'm sick of worrying. I'm tired of worrying. I know there's a better way. And I shouldn't be like this. Give me strength. Make me more stable. Make me more dependable. I don't want to worry myself to death and worry those about me. Try not to worry. Number 8, pray hard. Pray hard. Of course, this goes without saying in a way. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And in Psalm 55:22, there's an interesting way that the psalmist put it. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55:22. Why could Paul have that much confidence in 2 Timothy chapter 4? Nobody stood up for me the first time I was on trial. Here I am back again. I know what it's like to go through trial with no help except that of the Lord. The Lord stood by me and He helped me that time. And even though I know that I'm facing death right now, He's going to help me this time. What optimism! What correctly placed faith. Pray hard. Cast your cares on the Lord. And number 9, know that God loves you. And those that care about you, you know, they're praying for you. They're for you. They're pulling for you. They're thinking of you. Sometimes you'll say to somebody, we're thinking of you. You may say, we're thinking of you. We're praying for you. You may say, you know, well, we just all got to trust in the precious promises of a very gracious God. There are things you can think of to say that are true. And that's about all you can do sometimes. Know that God loves you. And know that we love you. And we're thinking of you. And then number 10, meditate much. And it's a good time when bad news comes to read the Psalms. I learned that from Brother Connolly years and years ago at the Brown Trail Preacher Training School. I knew the Psalms were there, and I'd read through the Psalms and all that, but I didn't think particularly about an application to difficulties or problems. But you get to thinking about it, and you go back through the book of Psalms, and you start just picking them up and reading them, this one and this one. So many of them had to do with the personal problems of the psalmist at the time, and that's the background of it. I said, my goodness, they had a lot of problems. Yes, they did. or he did. And a lot of times it was a very desperate problem, difficult problem. He wanted it solved soon. He knew that God could. Sometimes he's having problems with his enemies, and sometimes there's violence involved. And he just pours his heart out. And you can read the Psalms and say, you know, those are my feelings. Those are my sentiments. He expressed it better than I ever could. The psalmist, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Isn't that something? You people are always saying, the Lord does his prayers, Lord, help us to discipline ourselves that we'll study thy word every day. That's a good thought. Fine expression. I want to meditate on the will of God. And the final point I want to make, think deeply about God's precious promises and trust them completely. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, Peter calls them, he's thinking in that context about the promises whereby we became Christians. God kept His promise. We escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have been transferred over into His kingdom. We've been made partakers of the divine nature. That's the basic context of the remark. But also, when problems come and when bad news comes, man alive, I'm always thinking about promises. God said He was going to do this for me. He's going to do this for me. He's going to do this. And so I don't discount and I don't cancel. I don't get rid of, I don't despise and hold in contempt any promise that God made to me. I believe it. He fulfills them every day. He will do so in the future. And I try to encourage other people by reminding them of them. God made you a promise. We must trust the promises that He has made to us. Bad news hurts. Sometimes it's just almost a death blow. You feel that bad about it, just about ready to die. After a while, sorrow, you know, recedes. Some balance is recovered. Some routine is recovered. You get stronger as time passes. Then you cast a look over your shoulder still. It's hard to get rid of it. Hard to just, you know, cast it all behind you. And there are people that takes years. It takes years to get over a hard blow that they were dealt. I don't know, given how hard it was, I don't know if they could have made it without God. Because I know this, it was almost crushing with God. That's how badly it hurt. When bad news comes, let's look at it like the Bible teaches us to deal with it and to be stronger for it. Another blow may be coming next month, next year, sometime. And if I can get through this one like the Lord taught me to do, my goodness, I've moved up a grade in my education. I've got another degree. I'm ready for the next onslaught of difficulty until this life is no more. And then it's all done. And like Paul, I can say, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. May God help us to do that. If you're this afternoon and not a Christian, come in faith. Repent of your sins, make the good confession, be baptized into Christ. If you've done that and gone astray, we encourage you to come home right now. While together we stand, while we sing, won't you come?